Hey, this is Brian from Geek Pop. You can listen to us on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and our website, geekpoppodcast.wordpress.com. Don't forget to like and share us on Facebook and give us a rating on iTunes. Poppin' your geek every week.
Hey, did you guys see the Bill and Ted announcement?
I think just about everyone seems to have today.
Oh, my God.
I saw it explode. I saw when it hit YouTube because it was on trending or something.
Uh-huh.
But then I shared it with you guys, but then I was like, oh, man, like everybody was sharing that today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It got a lot of people excited.
It was a very delightful thing to see first thing in the morning is Bill and Ted 3 is happening 2020. Mm-hmm. I forget.
Summer 2020.
Summer 2020. Yeah. I'm like, I can't remember if they did a month or just the year, but
yeah.
Summer 2020.
I don't think they said a month now.
We're getting Bill and Ted 3. It's
I mean, they've been talking about it for
official.
So how long? Like,
I think at least 20 years, I think, is what I've been seeing.
I feel like early on it was, I mean, a lot of.
I think a lot of it was like a joke, like, wouldn't it be funny? Ha, ha, ha. And then it was like, no, this we can make this happen, guys.
For a while, like, it was a lot of the talk was coming from Alex Winter, and a lot of people were just naturally thinking, well, would Keanu Reeves agree to it?
Yeah.
But Keanu Reeves was always kind of open about it, saying, like, no, we want to do this. Like, they even said, like, he had this idea of, like, you know, they talk about Wild Stallions will someday, somehow, these two idiots make music that changes the world, you know? Like, they are so key to this utopia of, you know, the future. But then their idea for Bill and Ted 3 is, like, it still hasn't happened.
Yeah.
Like, they still haven't broken it big. Nobody cares about Wild Stallions. And they're like, what? You know, what? I love that premise of, like, a starting point for Bill and Ted 3.
It's beautiful in a way. And by the way. Welcome to Geek. With us this week is Lisa.
Brian.
And Enrique.
And just a three.
Just a three.
No Chris.
He had to do something, and he wouldn't say what it was.
It's all right. We can be the three amigos again.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, no. Bill and Ted 3. It's just I feel like it's a huge deal, just because basically the announcement was made, by the way, by a video.
By Bill and Ted.
Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves at the Hollywood Bowl. It's strangely hot at the Hollywood Bowl, so I don't know if that's going to be another scene.
Yeah,
I hope it's
funny because when I first played it, I didn't even read the title saying Bill and Ted 3 or whatnot.
Yeah.
I just assumed are they doing some type of concert thing?
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, oh my God, are they going to play it there and have them there and, I don't know, play guitar or something?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, wait, are they going to try to do weird,
it's also entirely possible that was just sort of coincidentally where they were when they could, you know, wanted to make this announcement. Because they're not, even in the video itself, they're saying, maybe finally we're going to start shooting this summer, you know, because it's still,
it's still somewhat up in the air, but they've got a date, so far, or at least a target.
Yeah, and this video, even though it looked like a random little cell phone video that Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves filmed together, it was put out as an official pressing, it came out on Orion Pictures official YouTube channel and everything, so it is an official announcement they're making, but let's not count our chickens before they hatch. I guess
I will forever with Bill and Ted.
Sure, but yeah, since they've been talking about it forever, I'd love to finally see Bill and Ted face the music.
Yeah,
face the fact that
they never amounted to what they were supposed to be,
or they still haven't. I'm sure by the end of the movie they'll be playing at Hollywood Bowl.
Perhaps.
Maybe. Let's hope so.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, Enrique, what you got for us? You got some nice, juicy.
Juicy. maybe polarizing thing.
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, I don't, but some people may. Well, Disney may have jumped the gun. And they decided to rehire James Gunn for Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Yay!
I think all us are super excited for this.
Yes.
I know
absolutely.
I was iffy for me if I was going to watch Guardians 3 without him.
Yeah, sure. Me too.
Because we were also going to lose Batista too at the same time.
It sure sounded like all the cast right away had put out that statement saying that they wanted him reinstated, but Batista was certainly the one most outspoken
he's the one who actually did the threat to saying quit if we don't have James.
Well, I don't believe Bautista's got that much weight to throw around, but it's still it's a lot to have.
It's not that much weight, but at the same time, like he's starting to do stuff. Like he's doing that Dune movie soon. So
yeah, he's been in things, but he's
well, he certainly
he's not
has
that
clout.
Big caliber actor. Like if
mm-hmm. as an actor, maybe not.
Pratt might have more weight there, and Zoe Saldana.
Yeah,
as an actor, maybe not, but certainly as a celebrity. Because he was a huge WWE superstar even when before he even started with acting. So he has that weight. Like it was great to that he kind of had James Gunn's back in that way. You know, well, and that's not to say the other actors didn't. They all did. You know, they all came out with that statement. But I think he even more than any of the others felt you know, that this was just totally unfair. And I think that's the thing. Like I think general sentiment, and I'm sure there are some people who side with the bloggers who first exposed, you know, the, or
that
I don't want to say
first
exposed, re-exposed these tweets out of context and made it, you know, out of the context of the humor that he was saying it, these things, as terrible as they were, you know, they were jokes.
Which,
and so,
by the way, I haven't really seen many like negative comments on this. So
well, that's the thing.
I think,
well, especially just the general public opinion, I think has been kind of with at least the three of us where we're happy with this kind of news that we wanted to see James Gunn come back, because I think a lot of people, and let's face it, a lot of sensible people just kind of looked at it and were like, look, these were jokes and is it grounds to completely remove him from a project that he's so directly
ingrained
tied to?
With?
And I think, you know, look at the way Brightburn's been marketed, you know, like that just tells you that's another studio that right off the bat had the confidence in knowing like people are with James Gunn with it. People still want to see James Gunn stuff. Let's put
people,
it on our trailers.
People were excited about the Suicide Squad as soon as like they saw him getting
Warner Brothers right off the bat. They're like,
they've taken him. And actually what's I think interesting about this is he will do Suicide Squad first before Guardians 3.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like. In a sense of you fired him, he's, you know, going and he's getting other work, whether it's with the necessarily enemy or not, you know, who cares? It's work at that point. And I'm glad he's back. I we've mentioned before and even a little earlier, I don't know if I would have seen it without him, even if it was just his script. I don't think I could have watched it and enjoyed it as well, knowing all the turmoil behind this.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, I think, with this story is that it also reveals that this has already been in the works for a long time. They say, actually, since last fall.
Good.
Okay.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, you know, the talk has been that from this news breaking that that Disney, for the large part, Disney and Marvel had James Gunn's side. You know, they felt they especially, you know, and you saw, you know, we all saw how quickly the response back to it was that it was very soon thereafter that people were already kind of like, well, Disney overstepped their boundaries here, or made too brash a decision on, you know, just kind of cutting him completely when he's the writer director, when he's so involved, and when they have so much, like Guardians of the Galaxy 3 basically just got completely shelled. But with the same news report, they also revealed that there was no official search for another director.
Yeah.
Basically, it just got everything put on hold. And so, there, you know, like all the news, the rumors that were going out that like Taika Waititi was being courted and everything. Mm-hmm. Apparently, none of that happened. Disney basically just put a stop on it, and then there was all that controversy, and there was never a search for another director. They were already kind of thinking, well, what do we do to mend this
probably
situation?
What's our best way through this?
Yeah. And I think we were like, we even talked about on Geek Pop, but there, you know, the rumors of them kind of having second meetings with him back in, you know, back in the fall, I think.
Yeah.
And
I think, but
didn't
I think that was
say,
around
like,
the time
we
where
kind
he
of
was
wondered if it was because of the merger that they said like not to do.
Well, that, and it's, it seems to have, at least the scuttlebutt I was reading was a lot of it had to do with the merger, and they were afraid of backlash knowing this too soon and that ruining the merger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I can see, but god damn it. It's weird.
Well,
yeah,
still,
because
at
like
least
they hired him back on shortly right before the
merger
happened.
That got spilled. That wasn't supposed to quite
come
out yet.
Oh, it wasn't supposed to come out yet? I didn't even know that part.
Yeah. From what I understand, it that was leaked, and then they just got it as ahead of it as they could. Mm. But, I mean, it was a week? Maybe before, days before the merger finally felt or was g- going to happen. So there really wasn't much to derail it.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah.
But well, still, I mean, either way, I think I think James Gunn made the right, like, well, he basically, you know, I think made an official like tweet this kind of along with this news, just I won't be able to find it right now, but I know like he wrote very eloquently in it, just accepting, you know, because look, there's probably some people who are still upset with him over the things he said, and understandably, but I think he said the right thing about how he's still learning to grow. He's, you know, like all the things that he's kind of said, I think, the first time around.
It's one thing if, like, you know, he knew he never had changed as a person, and he, you know, never changed his ways, and oh, damn it, you found him again. But he, you know, that's not what this was. And it's one of those things is like, if you were to look at all of our stuff on the internet, you know, 10 years ago, we'd probably be, you know, cringing and embarrassed, because we too. Yeah. It was a whole thing with the society acting this way, doing this, and we've since learned then, hey, not so cool, stop it.
Sure.
And we did. We've moved on from that.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
absolutely,
it's not, it, you know, it's, yeah.
Well, I think
I'm beating the same same drum, so it's just like, I can't.
Yeah, but we get the gist of what you're trying to say. It's like, yeah, we were different people before.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff that we say in the past, we probably don't definitely agree with now or whatnot, and should not be judged as long as we learn from our mistakes from the past. Basically.
Sure. I mean, there was a time. I mean, obviously humor is obviously always ebbing and flowing and growing, and there are things that don't age as well when we realize, you know, a lot of the shock humor that you know, obviously this was meant to be kind of, you know, but yeah, either way, I think he was an absolute gentleman by how he kind of put out the statement. He said, I'm always learning and will continue to work at being the best human being I can be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm tremendously grateful to every person out there who supported me over the past few months. And so, it just sounds great that, like, not only has he been rehired, but looks like this has been in the works for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to just quietly get this back rolling, make the amends. And I'm glad Guardians 3 will be still very much his movie, written and directed. And, you know.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And, I mean, it may have been delayed much further from where it was originally meant to be.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious, like, because obviously Guardians 2 had that big stinger with Adam Warlock, and we haven't gotten any of that. So I'm curious if that was anything they wanted to introduce earlier, if that was something they might have had planned to maybe sow seeds into Endgame, but who knows? At least finally we'll get to see his take on where it goes from here. So sweet.
Yep.
Yeah.
And with that, the Disney merger has been completed.
Yeah.
Woo!
As of this morning.
Yeah.
Because it was midnight
yesterday morning.
It was midnight yesterday, or midnight last night. So as you're hearing this, it's official.
It's official. Disney now owns Fox. Deadpool is a Disney princess, from what I understand.
Sure.
Or he wants to be. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I've been seeing Ryan Reynolds' tweets about it. I've been hearing about it, I should say. So, yeah, he's just going on and on about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but for better and for worse, it's completed.
Yep.
And now, I guess, 20th Century Fox and the Fox Corporation will be running separately now.
They're separate entities, and to say, but it's all owned by Disney.
Yeah.
I still want to think the Alien Queen is a Disney princess, or at least all the aliens
are.
She's
a Disney queen.
There you go.
But no, all the aliens, I'm sorry.
All the aliens, our princesses.
Our princess, Disney princesses,
yes.
And of course, this comes with, obviously, there's all the worry this week about what, you know, everyone's expecting there's going to be about 4,000 layoffs.
That doesn't sound as bad as I was thinking, because they're like, oh, massive layoffs. And I'm like,
sure, but it's still
to me,
still
that's
terrible,
like tens of thousands, not 4,000. But it still sucks. There's 4,000 people without a job.
Yeah, that
sucks.
But it's better than no one with a job. So,
well, hopefully in the grand scheme of things, because this is obviously huge, the number of 20th Century Fox IP that's going to Disney now, and, you know, but hopefully that means in the long run under Disney, some of these properties and, you know, will allow for more. I mean, I don't know. It's all give and take, because now everything's under Disney, but
they own essentially
at the same
everything.
Time, you know, if that ends up creating more opportunities for more jobs later for other people, you know,
for
the opportunities that Disney brings to 20th Century IP with their bankrolling. Who knows? I mean, look what they did with Marvel and Star Wars. So
so far it's been all right.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. not if you ask everybody. But.
Well, that's why I said all right sure. and not like great.
Sure.
or good.
Yeah.
It was like there's some bad in there, but mostly fun.
It's a mixture of things. Or I guess
tolerable. I don't know.
I mean, it throws a lot of things off kilter now. Like now we're like, or I don't want to say off kilter, but now we're definitely in a new era where we're kind of thinking like, what is going to happen with all these other Fox Tide properties, which I guess I'll take that into the next story.
Yeah, might as well.
All right. So, the obviously the Fox X-Men verse is, we've talked about it before, that the expectation is that Dark Phoenix and New Mutants will be probably the end of that run. But for years and years, Gambit was something that was always on the back burner. The solo Gambit movie, I know, though, is something that they even were talking about, like following X-Men Origins Wolverine. But because it's been.
Oh, they've talked about it. Yeah, right. They've talked about it for a while.
I mean, long before Channing Tatum was attached.
Channing Tatum's been attached for like, I want to say like 5 or 6 years.
Sure,
I
remember
wrong,
when they brought him out.
Like it.
Sure, I remember when they brought him out in that big room in Hall H, or that whole lineup of all the X of they had that entire. Days of Future Past cast mm-hmm. plus the Fantastic Four before we knew about the reboot being, you know, the disaster it was.
Yeah.
Plus Channing Tatum as
Gambit
because we were expecting, you know, that to be coming right around the corner. Mm-hmm. But you know, we're still expecting that Gambit is probably those plans are probably going to be scrapped, you know, since it never really brought to fruition. But basically this news story broke where Steve Weintraub, Frosty from Collider, he recently spoke with Rupert Wyatt. Rupert Wyatt is the Rise of the Planet of the Apes director. He was the one who was initially attached to Gambit because Gambit has had like
at least three different
directors who were attached. Yeah. Rupert Wyatt being the first one, and later it was like Doug Liman and then Gore Verbinski. But basically at South by Southwest, Steve had asked him about. Kind of his tenure working on Gambit and as for why he exited the movie. And so Rupert Wyatt kind of talked a little openly about this, said like a lot of it was kind of because of Fantastic Four's, the reboot, its commercial and critical failure, that it ended up really cutting the budget that they were already well into on Gambit. Like they had lots of pre-production worked out, how much it was all going to be. And then basically after Fantastic Four, you know, was a huge hit in the studio, they were like, okay, now we really want to cut the budget. And that's essentially what killed his version of Gambit and why he stepped back. But he talked a little bit about what he wanted to do with it. And it was going to be this, he kept referencing The Godfather, that it would be these different crime syndicates in the New Orleans bayou and just, and really treating it like a crime drama in that way. And that, you know, it's a little sad to see that never came to fruition, but
I don't know. It sounds interesting, but at the same time, I'm like, that could have been just terrible.
Sure. I mean, look at the
oeuvre of the, everything has that potential.
Sure. I mean, look at everything that's come out with the Fox X-Men verse. They've come out with great ones and total duds too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But at the same time, I think it could have been interesting just knowing that was, you know, I mean, I don't want to say it's over now because we got Dark Phoenix coming out soon and New Mutants soon. But you know, as just recently, they kind of had this sort of revival out of Logan and Deadpool. These two different, very different takes on two of their X-Men characters, and I think it could have been interesting to see Rupert Wyatt's sort of like Godfather-esque 70s era set, you know, New Orleans kind of crime drama mm-hmm. about Gambit. But yeah, it's just, you know, c'est la vie. Like obviously that didn't happen. And mm-hmm. and he also mentions that, you know, obviously with the Disney acquisition, this could probably throw it all out the window. But at the same time, with all that they've invested with, you know, these three other directors, and apparently, you know, with Channing Tatum very still committed, you know, to wanting to do this take, you know, who knows? You know, we'll see what Disney does with that. But you know, we might see this project reworked into something for Disney Plus. Who knows?
It could be, yeah.
Sure.
It might have better potential there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Only time will tell.
But yeah, there's the bit on the Gambit movie that we never got.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Speaking of time, because it's mentioned a couple times in it, but Avengers. New trailer dropped, which I almost didn't watch it at first because like I was scared, like, oh, are they going to spoil something? But no, this is a perfect trailer where it didn't show any of the well they didn't show like action.
Spoils I think a little. I mean, some. Granted, it's something that I feel like we all knew was going to happen,
but I mean,
I'm
like,
glad how little it shows. So
that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, there was no big moment where Thanos is throwing a moon at somebody like that.
No,
we didn't see that.
No.
Like stuff like that.
Yeah, we
like,
don't get their plan, but we get little hints of like, you know.
Yeah. We know that they have to go and find something. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily Thanos even. Like, we'll see, right?
But of course, this trailer drops like literally a few hours after we recorded the last Geekop podcast. So I'm sure by now, if you're listening to this, you've seen this trailer
seen
many
Avengers
times over.
Trailer.
But
yeah.
Oh
not,
my God,
go
we had to talk about it.
So. We could not talk about it.
It's a final Endgame trailer because this will be and
oh,
I think
this
it was
the final one too.
I think it's expected to be because it's like it's 4 weeks away at this point. So
I have to say it's the first Endgame trailer where I got really excited for it.
Okay,
because like with most pretty much all of the Marvel films now, like. I just know I'm going to go see them. There's not much hype you can really build with me to go see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as much as I liked the last one, I've had my issues with it. Sure. It's just like, all right, let's end this sort of saga, I guess, is the best way to say it. I actually was excited and was really intrigued with it. And I actually didn't show it to you guys because I forgot to. But there's a comic that that's been going around that I've liked that shows Thanos snapping his fingers, and then you see Hawkeye, and then you see like the hair on the sides of his head dye because he's got that new mohawk, right. And just his hair,
just
on the
sideburns go
just
dusty.
Dust.
Yeah.
But, that does make me a little bit sad when you mentioned Hawkeye right now because I'm like, oh, we're gonna see his daughter get. Poof.
Well,
in front of his eyes.
You're talking about
because,
this.
Yeah, because you see her with him.
I'm curious if that's his daughter or if that's Kate Bishop, which could be really cool if they're set, because Kate Bishop is his protege in the comics who later becomes Hawkeye.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
But
this.
Regardless if it's his daughter or Kate Bishop, or if they're doing some sort of amalgam of the characters, I think that moment you're referring to in the trailer where you see him happy and training archery, it's like that's probably pre-snap, and then it cuts right to the shot of him in Japan, presumably as Ronin.
Yeah.
And you know, he's obviously much sadder than the last
much
shot. So it'll be interesting because I think that'll be neat to see, you know, obviously, you know, as many people pointed out, Hawkeye was not in Infinity War.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So it'll be nice to see, like, I don't know how much of a flashback that'll be, but to see what happened to him, like how, you know, because obviously we're going to meet him.
Well,
as
we
Ronan.
Do know that he got a plea deal because he wanted to be with his family.
Yeah.
They let him do that.
Yeah.
So that's all we know. And,
which I
and
feel like it's probably like I feel like, I mean, look what happened to him. He probably lost them all, you know. Like
it's
could be.
Possible. I'm assuming he did.
Yeah. So it's
just
it's,
like Ant-Man lost all of his people.
Sure, sure. Or Rocket lost his entire crew.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully Nebula stuck around. Which, by the way,
not his crew.
Speaking of like to jump to the money shot at the end, Nebula and Tony are both there. Walking with him.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like,
so it does reveal at least they make it back to Earth together.
I always assume. Yeah. Like, I'm like, they're not going to let Tony Stark die in space.
Sure.
Like, that's just stupid.
But it suggests a lot of things that obviously that suggests that they come together, which we weren't sure yet because there was that shot in the last trailer where
showing them
he seemed
separate,
alone.
But possibly in the same area.
Maybe she's just in
and
the
I've
ship
heard
with
all this footage is just 20 minutes in at the most. So
good.
That means he gets brought back to Earth early on.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder if like maybe it's Captain Marvel that brings him, like probably along the way.
It's entirely possible because she shows up in the trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hangs out with Thor.
Sure. And that bit that we got at the end of Captain Marvel, which I still think is probably an Endgame, is probably really early in Endgame.
Yeah.
Like I could even see it as being like right the lead up to the title or something,
screen,
you know?
Yeah.
Because then, like, if Carol arrives first, which was, by the way, that last bit with Thor, how great is that? Where like they're both sizing each other up.
Of course Thor would be doing that, size her up, because, like, obviously she is one of the most powerful characters right now.
And arguably the two of them right there are the two strongest Avengers, and it's just great seeing that moment where they, I mean, I don't know if it's right when they meet, but it's at least them sizing each other up.
I really want a good moment where Thor and Hulk are all together in one great moment.
I mean, Thanos better fucking get out of the way. Yes. With the three of them. Like,
Yeah. Like basically what I kind of want, what I kind of want is like a good moment. Like they had in the first Avengers movie where Thor and Hulk are just on top of that thing, just bashing in the very end. Sure. Hulk just smashes him.
Yeah.
Thor.
Yeah.
I want something like that with all three of them.
Oh, sure. Oh, that'd be great.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just, I mean, it's all these reunited, like, I mean, just the fact that Tony's there, which means that, that you've had the Tony and Steve reuniting scene, which you know, there's going to be so much man angst and like,
oh my God. Know, like, yeah, that's right. Exactly. They have not met since Civil War.
Yeah. Know, so that just suggests that that's already happened. And that's, I just can't wait to see that moment where like, hey, you, but, not to mention also, that's just the way this is edited together. I just love that dialogue that leads up to that last shot, because you just hear Steve saying, like, you know, whatever it takes. And then you hear Clint say it, and you hear Natasha say it, and then it cuts to black, and then you hear Tony, and just like, ah,
yeah. Oh, God. Which makes me wonder, like, what could they be doing that's going to be, like, very risky?
Well,
obviously it's something to save the world, and we'll probably kill them.
Well, bear in mind, you know, and a lot of people have already suggested this, because they have new suits at the end, which look really cool. And by the way, Tony isn't in his Iron Man suit, but I'm just wondering, like, well, I guess it's the nanoparticles.
Yeah. Because Rhodey's in this. They established the nanoparticles and stuff like that. Yeah. So, like, I'm assuming, he's just going to have a new nano suit, which I'm assuming is going to be different.
Well, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people are suggesting that might be all of them about to go quantum, because they seem like it could all be, you know, Pym particle suits or something. Or that's a thing. Like, and that's this trailer doesn't reveal much, but this is all speculation off of little glimpses here and there. There's that shot, you know, of Cap as he's strapping on his shield right before you see the shot of Ant-Man leaping on top of that pencil eraser. And I could swear, my theory is Cap is tiny there too. Like, I think that there's, like, my, and I'm not the only one who thinks this. A lot of people have suggested maybe there has to be some part of the movie where a bunch of them need to get into somewhere, but they have to do it tiny. And bear in mind, like, all the heavy hitters are not there in that last lineup. Like, Captain Marvel, Thor, Hulk. Maybe they have to be the muscle and some other, but like, who knows? Like,
which that would make sense, because like it worked so well last time where they separated them out, like into doing different points in the film and different areas. So it would make sense to at least not to kind of, you know, draw more attention to one fight or whatnot.
Yeah, they all have their separate missions to do or something, and like, who knows? Like, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, there certainly doesn't reveal much, but
Although
I mean, there's not even Thanos in this trailer at all.
No.
No. Well, that's okay. It's not his movie. Yeah.
But also,
if it was called Thanos, then I'd be upset.
Sure. But I love that little intro where we get, the reprisal of Iron Man 1, of Thor, of Cap 1. Also, like, I love that,
Yeah, you kind of get their whole movie, their entire arc to that point.
And it fits their character so beautifully that, like, Tony's little reprisal is Tony talking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then Steve's is Peggy Carter speaking about him, and like it's a great little like lead in that doesn't really use much new footage because it's this voiceover of
pretty much.
Well, I guess it's a new line from Tony, but then Peggy's line is from Winter Soldier. But I can't help but feel like, and maybe I'm sort of hoping that somehow Steve and Peggy get back together by the end of this. But
that's what I'm saying. There's like weird emphasis on that getting back to the beginning.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It does kind of strike me like, I wonder if somehow he goes back in the past. Which
that's been a fan theory. How they end it is.
Yeah.
He goes back, gets to be with Peggy, and then live.
But he could also die too.
A somewhat natural life.
Sure. that'd be a nice poetic ending for him. But I mean, obviously.
Which kind of sucks also because wasn't he kind of getting attached to another girl, Peggy's great-great-granddaughter?
Oh, Sharon. But Sharon obviously just got to her side.
She's like Peggy, but not really. Yeah. I mean, come on. If you could choose Peggy or her great-granddaughter, you'd choose Peggy.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, it's Peggy.
Chris had some thoughts on this, and he wanted me to share them because he wanted to make sure they were shared.
Sure.
He liked the trailer, but he feels like this isn't the movie that we're gonna get. He feels that he saw scenes that could easily have been re-edited and then in the movie are something entirely different.
Sure. Well, yeah, that's definitely true.
I mean, that's
what happened last time.
Yeah.
Last time they straight up like tricked us into thinking Hulk was going to have this big old moment, and no, that didn't happen.
I mean, hell, the hangar scene at the end of this trailer reveals that Tony and Nebula are walking amongst them. Yeah. They were not with them in the last trailer that showed us a shot from the same scene.
Yeah, that shot could be totally fake. Is true.
They could not be there at all. We're going to watch the movie and Tony and Nebula are dead in space. Mm-hmm. And like, who knows? Anything could happen. Because we saw Hulk in Wakanda, and he wasn't in Wakanda.
He was not in Wakanda.
Yeah. So anything could happen. Yeah, that's true.
He could be pulling a rug under us.
That was his biggest gripe with it. But, you know, we're
but
all going to watch
it. That could be a good thing, right? Because I think...
Could it
like,
be a good thing? Because, I mean, aren't trailers supposed to kind of show... I mean, it's great that they're not revealing much. Mm-hmm. I agree with that completely. But isn't the point of the trailer to kind of show you the movie that you're going to see?
Sure.
And if they keep filling trailers with things that you're not going to see, are they really marketing the right movie at that point?
But let's face it. Mm. Like, nobody, except for, I guess, some people. I mean, look, I shouldn't say this because some people actually do like looking out for spoilers. But most people don't want to know. Like, that they're going to this movie knowing, like, look, we know that most of the people, maybe even all the people who died in the snap are coming back. But I think most of us are kind of glad that this trailer is very teasery and probably only footage from the first half of the movie, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Maybe.
We'll see. I mean, we're going to see the movie sooner or later. It's just around the corner, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right.
Endgame.
Definitely. So we also got a trailer for Toy Story 4.
Yeah, and also speaking of trailers that might reveal maybe too little too much, I like this trailer, but I also feel like I've seen a lot of the movie already.
Yeah, and also there's... I also
feel like there's a misdirect with it, with because the trailer shows basically Woody's with creates her new friend,
Bonnie,
and they're like...
Right?
Mm-hmm. The new kid, right?
Forky.
Bunny, yeah.
Oh, no, Forky. He called her for Quirky, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you meant his owner. Okay.
Yeah, his owner, Bunny.
Bunny.
Forky.
Forky, yeah.
And basically they're like, we have to save Forky. You know, we can't let him, you know, get anywhere. And he's like, I'm just to be eaten. Like this,
I like
I'm
that
one use only sort
of
thing.
No, I like that layer too.
Which is very, very mimicking the first one. Because
it's
a toy who doesn't think he's a toy.
Well, he's not a toy.
Yeah, no, but he is a toy.
He's been made into a toy.
No, but you have
but
you have
he
a,
is
very,
a toy.
You have a very good point. I think a lot of people have been very astutely saying this seems like a mixing of the plot of the first two movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Forky is not exactly an analog to mm-hmm. Buzz Lightyear,
Buzz Lightyear,
but he's somebody
but
refusing
it's
that he's a toy.
But it's
very,
very
similar
so
idea where he doesn't know he's a toy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He goes out the window. He goes off his own way, but like not
well,
get kicked out. And
he,
then and
he's trying
he
to kill himself.
Yeah. Well, that's why I
that's
mean
that's the dark turn
whole,
on this.
I mean,
I didn't really think of it as that. Oh my god, yeah, he was trying to kill himself. Yeah.
And this is, by the way, the first trailer that's given us any plot at all. Mm-hmm. You know, like obviously the Super Bowl spot was just a random joke in the middle of the movie or something. But this is like, but I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of intrigued by Forky just by the nature of him being like, yeah, he's a concocted toy out of other parts. So like, it's like I guess he thinks like a spork, like he's like, look, I was just a tool.
So does that mean like all of like our things have
all plastic things?
No, not just plastic, but like plates.
Oh,
because
Bo Peep is porcelain. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, Bo Peep came back.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm glad that
it makes sense that she would be here at this like antique area. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I could get that.
But then yeah, this whole carnival thing and this whole plot line of her like, you know, of Woody trying to go back to their owners and Bo Peep kind of being a toy on her own does also seem very Toy Story 2. So
yeah.
So I'm a little worried just because, like, look, like Toy Story 3 was such a perfect ending, and a lot of us were a little worried about, like, oh, they're just going to do a fourth. And I'm sure, you know, look, they've all been great movies, and this, I'm sure, will be a great movie too. But it just, you were worried about, I think, situations where it feels
so
like
so far they've had, I would say, three good films within within this series.
Great
so
films. What are you talking about?
I don't like two. So
oh, really? Okay.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of tears the others down a little for me. Okay. But it's hard. So they struck gold like three times. It's hard to do it a fourth time.
Yeah.
You know, and will it be a fifth time? Will there be a sixth time? Like, how many more of these are we going to get? I get we're going to get more.
We'll probably get the Bonnie trilogy.
It's hard. Yeah, it's
kind of wonder.
It's hard to keep the quality up.
Sure.
I kind of wonder, like, if Bonnie is going to be the villain in this one.
Really?
I have a weird feeling that she is.
Why do you hate women?
No, it's because in the last two films, the villain has always been somebody who seemed friendly at first and is unexpectedly changed.
Like the prospector and two.
Yeah, and then what was his name? Huggins.
Well, I feel like Woody is really the villain of the first one.
Yeah, but the first one was completely different. Yeah. In that one. In those two aspects, they've been changing. And Bonnie has been a very luring him to be a lost toy, to stay as a lost toy. So I'm wondering.
Oh, you mean
somehow,
Bo Peep?
I'm sorry.
We're talking about Bonnie, the owner, his kid.
Oh, I am so sorry.
Wasn't he going like, Bonnie is a villain?
She's gonna turn to Sid. All right, let's follow this.
I totally thought Bonnie was okay. Oh my God.
Bo Peep.
I feel dumb. Okay. Bo Peep was going to be the villain.
It's just a trailer.
My bad.
Yeah.
Bo Peep. It's been a long time since I seen the characters' names, and I forgot.
They start with a B-O.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
I think that's why I got confused. Well, anyways, Bo Peep is who I'm talking about.
Yeah, that could be interesting. I mean, I could see that also being done. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but at the same time, she's a character where we haven't seen since Toy Story 1. You know, so it's, right? Because I think it's two that they mentioned that Bo Peep is gone. Yeah.
Yeah, Bo Peep was gone in part two.
Yeah. Which is always something that, like, you know, I like that the toy lineup is keeps changing too. Because it's like, look, they're, you know.
At some point, they're going to get worn out.
Yeah. And he grows up, he gets different toys. He gave different toys to Bonnie. Bonnie has her toys. So I'm like, I like that they're changing up the roster.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I mean, it looks fun. Mm-hmm. But, I'm just worried that, you know, that they're going to run this into the ground when they've got when Toy Story 3 was such a, especially since Toy Story 3 said goodbye to Andy.
Yeah.
That last scene was just such, like, that could have just been it. And like, oh my God, you guys did it.
That could have been just it.
Sons of bitches, you actually made a great third movie, which is very rare.
Yes. And very hard.
Yeah. But then we're going to get four. So.
Yeah, and they didn't even fully say goodbye to Andy because you see him in the trailer too.
Yeah, you see a young Andy, which I thought I couldn't help but notice. Hey, it's Andy, but he's like rendered so well. He's got like all his hair that he didn't have before. Because the first movie didn't have.
Like, technology has changed.
I think Monsters Inc. was the first time they actually did like hair, and that was like
that's true. Yeah,
that must have been pain in the ass. Their main character's covered in it, but anyways, Pixar's come a long way.
Yep. So,
and we're getting Toy Story 4. So.
Yeah. What's also coming a long way, Aliens is celebrating their 40th anniversary. And
ooh, are we getting another movie?
Kind of.
by Ridley Scott.
Are we? We're sort of getting six.
No. It's 10. I guess you could kind of say it's kind of like six. They're
six
short stories of Alien, basically. And then, like,
yay, six movies are just going to be short.
Yeah, they look good. They look interesting. I'm assuming that those are the titles of each episode were flashing on the screen. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to premiere at cons first. So you and I are going to be at WonderCon next weekend. It's two of them are premiering at WonderCon.
Oh, we are watching that then, right?
Yeah, Saturday night.
Okay, then we're going there for sure.
Sweet.
I didn't know that was a thing. I'll keep an eye out for maybe we'll get an invite or something.
Well, they're also they're doing. I guess they're going to release them all eventually.
I just saw that they were releasing them all at once, not that they're doing it via cons.
Yeah. But it's really not like it's going to be like streaming. Like you have it'll just be like a preview for the people there. But, you know, I assume, because if they're going to do this release later, why stream it or something?
Yeah.
But sweet. I mean, it looks,
They look fun.
Yeah, I had no clue that they were filming these things.
Yeah, I mean, like, because we were talking before about like how they keep putting these little hints like through the alien social.
Like, I was gonna say like media, yeah, the like, social media thing that read, play, watch thing yeah. that I was talking to you guys about. Remember, we were suspecting that the watch part was gonna be like a new trailer, or whatnot.
Yeah,
it ended up being like the.
It was tied to Isolation, right?
Yes, and what that ended up being, which is a little update from that one last article, was that the watch. Is the Alien Isolation storyline got reintroduced as short as videos for IGN or whatnot? So,
okay.
So yeah, you could go online. I think on IGN I think you could find it on the actual Alien Anthology page on YouTube. But yeah, they're just little short things that where you get to basically re-see the whole story of Alien Isolation, done in more like a movie fashion than from, you know, first person perspective.
Yeah, it's like animated in a kind of unique way or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, yeah. But still, I mean, just like the fact that they kept this somewhat, I feel like, under wraps until releasing all this, like this trailer of.
Yeah.
And it's like six different filmmakers, you know, their own different takes. So it's not like this, you know.
It's not Ridley Scott's. These are my.
Yeah, it feels very. I'm trying to think of other examples where they've done something like this, where like kind of like Animatrix,
yeah.
where they have like different creators sort of do a short that's in universe, and just some people who
probably recently saw the Love, Death, and Robots, same feeling to it too.
Love, Death, and Robots was
that's a new Netflix show.
Oh, okay.
I've been actually wanting to talk to you guys about it.
Oh, cool.
Because it's really good.
I've heard the title. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's called Love, Death, Robots. It's an anthology of stuff that's basically. In the spectrum of sci-fi and whatnot, and cool. It's really good. I recommend it.
Cool. Well, I like when franchises do stuff like anthology stuff like this. I mean, obviously, on some level, Star Wars is doing it with movies, and then, but particularly, you know, like Matrix did it. But Blade Runner had those shorts that tied into 24.
Yeah, they were okay. Mm. I really didn't like them as much as I wanted to.
The animated one I really dug. Mm-hmm. That was the one that covered the blackout. Because I didn't like that Jared Leto one. I also felt like that one wasn't necessary. So I guess it was a little hit or miss. I guess with some of them. But they look really cool. Like although at the same time I was reading because they released like little one paragraph premises for each of the six.
Mm-hmm.
They all sound very similar because it's obviously some accident that happens or some specimen or somewhere or some stranded ship. But you know.
Oh, that's interesting because it looked, at least the way that they showed it, like a progression of. Not necessarily the same story, but of it was like they kind of
they were somehow tied.
Introduced to the alien.
Oh, like escapes. Probably like the second ship comes and finds the first ship are all abandoned and everyone's dead already.
Not quite. It felt like the progression of aliens, but in six different forms. I don't know. At least that's how I read it.
Okay, I wouldn't be surprised if they're somehow tied too. Like, I mean, obviously this was some sort of. You know, group project too. Like if there's some sort of thread
that connects them.
Yeah. And even if it is just all these little isolated stories of, you know, humans of the future running into xenomorphs or running into some problem with them or you know,
you would think that had to happen. Like it couldn't have been just like a couple incidents and that's it.
Yeah.
It had to have been like at least a couple of people encountered them or whatnot.
And it's not to say they all are just the same sort of thing, but like they have interesting kind of premises of some of these. Like one of them is just like it's a stranded ship, which is you know very much like Nostromo, I guess. But there's other ones where like it's a scientist working and a specimen kind of breaking into it's all different scenarios, I imagine, probably set roughly around the same time of people encountering xenomorphs, I guess, and I'm assuming it's a classic xenomorphs, but we'll see kind of how they tweak that. But I don't know. I mean, just the glimpses we got in that trailer, it felt very much like you know, classic Ridley Scott Alien. So
yeah.
I say classic Ridley Scott because Ridley Scott.
Because present Ridley swollen. Scott is not fun.
Sure. But I don't know. I'm excited for it. And we'll check it out when we're at WonderCon next week. So.
Yes, definitely.
Sweet. All right. So we got a little bit of news regarding kind of a follow up to last week when we were talking about all the news that broke out about Galaxy's Edge. But there's some new details that kind of emerged about the lightsaber building workshop that we talked about. That's going to be called, I think it's Savvy's Workshop. I think I'm so prepared here.
Uh-oh.
But basically,
that
you
sounds
know,
about right.
And look, like when it comes to like, because anybody who's been to Disneyland in recent years, like knows they already have something of a saber building thing in the Star Trader, but it's a very, very bare bones
and that,
thing.
Is that at only at
in the Star Trader
Disney
next
World,
to Star Tour,
is that in?
Oh well, this new thing will be at both Galaxy's Galaxy's Edges.
Okay.
Edges. But I think Disney World and Disneyland both had them.
Okay.
I mean, it's a very tiny part of the of the gift shop essentially.
It was
very bare bones, where you basically assemble a little plastic lightsaber and you know, and it's one of those plastic ones with the extendy blade and that doesn't go all the way in. You know, the kind of, I don't want to say cheap, but they're meant
for
little kids.
Ones,
the plastic assembly, you get like a pommel, you get like a middle part and just mix and match and just get a unique saber. But it's fairly simple.
Okay.
This one is going to be apparently, and I think a lot of people picture that same thing. Oh, they're just going to move that over to Star Wars Land. No, this is going to be a whole shop dedicated to it. And it sounds like Disney Imagineers just saw what Universal was doing with Ollivanders.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, holy shit, we need to get on that. Because
yeah.
Ollivanders, if any, I'm sure you guys have are familiar. Like, and if you're not, like, if you go to Universal, you know, they have this, you know, if you into Hogsmeade, I think at both parks, they have Ollivander's workshop where you can, you know, get a customized, you know, it's a very personalized experience of getting a wand that matches you. And if you're lucky enough to be the person selected in that first room, when you go into there, you know, you get to be part of the whole thing where
you have a wand selecting ceremony basically for you. And so it's a really interesting, fun thing.
And the ways that the wands, like, it's not, you know, like obviously you can get this, the regular wands. There's also the wands that interact with the rest of the park. I mean, they really knocked it out of the park in giving an experience, like a sort of in-universe experience, as if you're part of you know, the world of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a lot of what they're looking at, you know, with this lightsaber experience. They're going to be a lot more pricier, but, you know, because it's probably going to be metal parts. Like, they showed images of the actual sabers, and they look like straight up like Force FX sabers, like the, you know, so they're going to be pricier because there's still conflicting reports on the pricing. It's going to be initially they said it was going to be $109 for the saber hilt, and then an additional $49 for a detachable blade. But then so that makes me think it's going to be like similar to those high end. Hasbro currently has a license to do the Force FX lightsabers. It got the license from Master Replicas, but they made it with like a detachable light up blade with, you know, and so, you know, they're fightable and, you know, but it sounds like that's a lot of what's, you know, what they're going for in terms of quality. And then the experience itself, how, you know, you're mixing different eras, like different lightsaber parts that reflect different eras. So there's like a Republic era kind of, you know, the lightsabers as you see in the prequels, you know, similar to that. There's like a Sith style parts. There's elemental nature parts and protection and defense. And these latter two are probably going, you know, the reports are that they're going to include a lot of kind of organic components like rancor teeth and cartusian whale bones and
but
stuff that we've never really seen with this kind of stuff. Cause, and it's also, I mean, I have a little bit of a bone to pick with
do rancor teeth big or little?
Well, you see one in Empire Strikes Back. No, in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, when Luke's about to be eaten by him. I mean,
look about the size of his, like...
So, like, saber size?
No, it couldn't be the whole saber. It could just be, like, a part of it or something.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out how many teeth you could fit on the saber.
all around it and whatnot?
No, I was just thinking just, like, an end piece.
Or impossible to hold.
Or just, like, is it, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to come up with weird...
Well, it's kind of a weird thing to make this sort of fit into this era of the universe, or era that they're... Because, you know, they're very much tying this to... I mean, it is a... named after, it is an outpost that, you know, is referenced in Solo, and, you know, they're trying to find, you know, a ways to sort of establish this as being set in the sequel era, which, you know, lest we forget, Rey kind of is the last Jedi. There aren't really any Jedi anymore, but so it's not exactly like it's the, you know, the prequel era type of thing where, you know, where you're going to the Jedi temple and, you know, this is some sort of coven. Basically it's like a junkyard dealer, Savvy. He's the scrapper, I guess, who's collected old bits of lightsabers all around the galaxy, who's sort of, I'm assuming there's going to be some dedicated cast member playing Savvy, you know.
I thought he was an animatronic.
Oh, in the artwork, he seemed human.
Okay.
So that'd be quite
maybe
the
I'm
animatronic.
Maybe I'm wrong.
It could be. And that could just be like a drawing of...
I think it would be easier for them to keep it kind of
maybe
the same.
Well, if it's anything like Ollivander's, I'm sure it's going to be actors.
Mm-hmm. But there's only one Ollivander now. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, this is Disney. They're going to...
Yeah. I know.
They're going to underpay somebody to act this all out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It sounds really cool that, you know, just all the kind of mix of kind of custom parts that you're going to be able to build a lightsaber with, and, you know, with four different colors, mm-hmm. all the ones we see in the movies, so red, purple, blue, and green. I guess mm-hmm. they haven't done Ahsoka white yet, but
not yet.
I feel like I would buy one. If I went down there and if I ever go down there.
They seem really cool, at least
it
in that.
It seems like a really cool thing to do, but I don't.
Yeah.
Well, at least in the preview image, it looks really cool. Because I think just that, I mean, there are parts here that, I mean, these are probably more the prequel era style that they're doing, that they show mm-hmm. in this photo, where it's all metal and kind of machined, but I don't know. I like the look of them. I like that they incorporate little subtle hints of, like, of the Graflex tube from Luke's lightsaber and stuff like that. So, oh, still, I think that's another cool little thing that you can do in Galaxy's Edge when you can manage
to
pass the giant line. And yeah.
Yeah. One thing I wanted to mention was that it seems like they're going to keep it in small groups to go and create the lightsaber. So you won't have to, like, fight people to necessarily get the parts you want.
Makes sense. They kind of did the same thing in Ollivander's also.
Yeah.
They have, like, people go in, like, groups, and they have just a line to go into the store. So
yeah, because if every kid gets that custom, you know, experience mm-hmm. that the selected person in that first room in Ollivander's gets, that line would take forever. So they have to do it in chunks, and everybody else in the group has to watch one kid get lucky, you know?
Yeah.
But then, I'm sure they'll do something similar, because, look, I'm sure they're well aware how crowded it'll be, and they're going to do everything they can to move that crowd through. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, moving on forward, we got some news with New Mutants, kind of. It doesn't look like it's going to go to theaters, but it's either going to end up on Hulu or Disney Plus.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, though, because, like, you know, they originally, you know, advertised it being in theaters with the first trailer and stuff.
It's still officially set for August 2nd this year.
Yeah.
You know? That's still officially the release date. But and that's
but
the thing.
This
is not
this
official.
Merger,
official.
Yeah. It seems to be that it may not quite get there.
I could definitely see them doing that. I'm glad it's not scrapped entirely. Some people were speculating that they would just throw out this movie.
Which,
it's like, what, really?
Wow. That would suck if they threw out a whole movie that they already kind of mostly made.
Well, what? It depends on how... Really, because Disney now will own it.
Yeah.
It depends on what they want to do with those characters and those things.
Yeah.
Is it easier just to scrap this and cut the loss? Or is it easier... And, you know, then start on something new and fresh, and you have no sort of strings attached to mm-hmm. it, or let this come out and either build off of it or then start mm-hmm. fresh again.
And that's something they said, that this kind of feels like a downgrade, but it may not be at all. Like, if anything, Disney Plus might get a hell of a lot more viewership than it ever would with an expensive theatrical campaign and then release, you know.
Yeah. And that's the theory behind it, is that it might get a bigger release. And with Hulu, they've got Marvel's Runaways.
Yeah.
They've got... there's another Marvel show they have on there.
But they got Legion and... What's the Gifted?
I thought that was Fox.
Oh,
but
yeah, maybe.
But, I mean, I see it on Hulu, so I understand.
Yeah.
I understand the confusion there with it. But I swear they have another Marvel show, too. And then they're getting the other Marvel...
Oh, Cloak and Dagger, I think maybe you're referring to.
That's Freeform.
there's so many Marvel shows.
I know, there's
so many
shows on so many different platforms. But,
but look,
they're doing
Disney
the
Plus
animated
is not
ones.
Exactly just another
and Disney,
platform.
Well, you know, we're not quite sure what Disney Plus is going to become. It could be an offshoot on sort of Hulu, because Disney also has 60% stake in Hulu now, now that they've owned Fox.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we're still seeing all these things happen, but it seems to be that New Mutants will be shown eventually at some point and not scrapped.
Good. I mean, you know, even if it ends up being the end of this whole Fox X-Men verse. Mm-hmm. And who knows? Maybe Gambit will actually become something. But yeah. But still, I mean, or even this. I mean, Josh Boone, look, he's been talking about New Mutants for, I mean, look, they shot most of the movie over a year ago.
Yeah.
But he's often talked about how this is very much conceived as the start of a whole new franchise, and he wants to do a trilogy of New Mutants horror themed movies that would follow other characters as well. And you know, so I'm glad that you know it's going to see some light. There's some concern from some people, I think, because I don't know if this movie's ever been officially rated. It's clearly a horror movie, and it may well push into R. But it would be, if it is on Disney Plus, on a platform that they've time and time again said this is family friendly. And so
which is why it will probably end up on Hulu then.
Maybe. It could end up on Hulu if they want to keep it with that hard R. I think it could be very possible. You know, Bob Iger is kind of hemmed and hawed at this, but you know, he's certainly, you know, been open at times about embracing the more adult things from Marvel Comics, such as Deadpool, and you know, and maybe they'll allow that kind of stuff to have a place on Disney Plus as well. So, I mean, we'll see. And I certainly, if it ends up being great, look, obviously it could be terrible, and we don't want to see any more. But if it ends up being great, I'd want to see Josh Boone's plans that he had under Fox still have that window open under Disney, especially if it ends up being a big hit.
I think if it becomes a hit, he will.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, I also can't help but feel like a lot of the reason why Fox doesn't want to let go of this property because they understand the star power of Maisie Williams, too.
Yes.
Because Maisie Williams is arguably miles above the biggest name on that cast. And, you know, so I don't think they want to squander that potential either.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have that with Dark Phoenix, too, with Sophie Turner.
Sure. Yeah. But I mean, look, they're... We'll if you see. Have anybody from Game of Thrones attached, you want to flex that muscle,
yes.
Especially this year.
Please do.
Well, on to something that popped up for Netflix. Stranger Things 3 trailer dropped.
Sweet.
It looks good.
It looks good.
It looks good. It's one of those things, like, I kind of like them allowing them to be teenagers. Look,
yeah,
sure.
Look dorky. Look. Not so perfect.
I mean, these kids are growing up. You gotta embrace that.
Yeah, and I like that they sort of move them forward in time, more appropriate to their age too.
Yeah, we gotta, you know, the trailer, and look, you know, these Stranger Things is not they've never shied away from using a great kind of, you know, music choice from the era, and Baba O'Reilly from The Who is playing over this whole trailer, and you know, you hear the lines of a teenage wasteland, like it fits very perfectly the era and what these kids are kind of going through, and you know, they're all growing up, and it looks looks neat.
I'm excited.
It looks very cool.
I
like the bit
July
with Hopper.
July 4th is when it releases.
Okay,
it was the date that they said. I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm really loving that creature at the end that looks like something straight out of the Thing.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing, is that there's not a lot of, like...
Yeah, there's not a lot of creatures. Yeah.
Creatures are weird.
It's a teenage wasteland right now, okay, guys? Like, yeah.
This could be a little bit more character-focused.
Well,
sure.
That, and it's the first trailer we've seen of anything.
Yeah, sure.
For, like,
they could be saving it for the next trailer.
So, yeah.
Oh, I love
which is
bit.
Very soon, the
I love
July
the bit
4th.
With Steve and Dustin at the end where they're lightsaber fighting. How many kids
are you friends with?
Oh, Steve, how far he's come along.
Gosh, some of the way that they light things and some of the imagery they have here is just gorgeous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I miss this. So.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's we have July 4th.
July 4th. Mm-hmm. It seems so far away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this one's actually in the summer, too, because we usually see them around Halloween time.
Mm. Oh, that's right, huh? Mm-hmm. The last two were in Halloween.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, yeah, I guess this is the summer afterwards, because you see a lot of imagery of carnivals. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense for the July 4th, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that creature is creepy. It looks like it's growing or mm-hmm. something like that.
Sure.
So I'm wondering if we're not even seeing the final form of how it looks at the end.
Well, obviously we get nothing of like that plot line of what that's involved with. So I don't know.
I feel like that creature is going to change. That's one thing. Yeah. Like I feel like that creature, that's why I invoked the Thing, because I feel like it has a similar feel to that from the movie Thing, like how that alien creature was like.
Yeah, very Cronenberg.
There you go. That's the word I'm looking for, Cronenberg.
But yeah, I mean, look, we're all invested in these characters. The trailer doesn't give much in terms of plot, so no. We'll see. Because I'm also a little worried about, like, you know, don't run this into the ground, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be another plot of some other shady government thing that...
No, I think it's still connected to the Upside Down, because they didn't quite, I want to say, destroy it. They just destroyed, I want to say, like, that connection.
Yeah, yeah. They just closed the doorway. Yeah, that's it. Right. That's all it was.
Yeah.
Which, there could be other ways.
Exactly.
Sure. You think that they keep going with these kids as they're growing up, it'll just go into the 90s and...
I don't know if I want to go that far, but...
Because, let's see, the last one was set around Ghostbusters, right? Because that was 84, so... Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. So they're right smack in the middle, I guess, so...
Yeah.
I don't think it'll go to the 90s. Now. I think it'll be, like, probably at the most 89, and then it'll just stop, whatever
not,
it is.
Not do what the X-Men movies are doing, just keep jumping a decade every time. It's like, you know, some of these actors don't look 30 years older than they did in First Class.
Yeah. No, I kind of don't want to see, like, the story of them all the way up to adults. Sure. I kind of want to see just them as kids.
I'm cool with, like, 6 seasons of this, maybe.
Yeah.
But then I think, I mean, it depends on the story and everything. Tell,
sure. Yeah, you know, like, the story could change to the point where, like, we want more and more and more. But,
sure.
But as of right now, I feel like only a couple more seasons, and then I'm good, appropriate to end it.
I am kind of curious if they have something of an end game in mind.
I would think so by now.
They have to. They have to. Like, I would imagine that before the end game was season 2.
Yeah.
But, like, they have to have a different end game in mind now.
Thanos snaps, half of them die. Yeah. It's end game.
Someone loses Stranger half Things of their hair.
All right. Yeah.
What
Brian?
You got for us, Brian?
Oh, that's me. So we also got a trailer for Quentin Tarantino's next film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is, I think I was going to mention last week, actually, or was it the week before when we were talking about Luke Perry's passing? Luke Perry is actually going to be his final film. He's not in the trailer because I think it's a relatively minor role.
Okay.
But, okay.
But yeah, just wanted to mention that.
Well, I did not know that Luke Perry was in this one.
He is, apparently. But, but yeah, it's interesting, this trailer, given that, you know, for a long time, the talk about this was that he was going to do a movie about the Tate murders and, you know, the Manson family murders and everything. And that may well be where this movie goes to.
Yeah, it could be that too.
Because apparently, what's interesting is that with this trailer, you're clearly getting a lot more focus on the main characters, which are fictional characters.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad you know that question because I was asking Enrique about it earlier.
We were debating that. So like, are they fictional?
Brad Pitt and Leo DiCaprio's characters are fictional.
Okay.
Margot Robbie plays Sharon Tate,
yes.
who is real, okay. and obvious. And right here, we're watching the trailer right now, Mike Moe plays Bruce Lee.
Okay.
Yes. I was going like, that has to be Bruce Lee.
It is Bruce Lee. So this is a fictional story set around a very, very real,
very
really
real.
Crazy story about the Tate and Manson murders and everything. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this is something I could sort of recently learn too, is how much Bruce Lee was tied to that story too, because Bruce Lee was a fight choreographer on one of Sharon Tate's films. And was apparently quite close with Sharon Tate too, or at least they were buddies. And, and he was also buddies with her husband, Roman Polanski. You know, apparently Polanski, even once, you know, before basically the motive behind the Manson family's murders of the whole, you know, of everyone, the Sharon Tate and, like, I think it was a few of her friends and who were over and everything. I mean, it's a crazy story because they basically were just trying to get out revenge on the producer who used to own that house. They didn't even realize that he didn't live there anymore. Mm-hmm. But Polanski apparently even briefly blamed and investigated Bruce Lee on it. So I'm curious if that you know, if that's sort of what he'll cover with this too. But
that's interesting because the trailer doesn't show anything of the murders or anything like that. But
no, there's no indication that this is anything.
This is the first trailer too. So. Yeah.
And that could well be, you know, the last act of the movie. They don't want to show any of that yet. And it's clearly these two fictional characters are the main characters of this story.
Mm-hmm.
Where, which by the way, so in it you see Leo DiCaprio plays like a Hollywood actor and his buddy Brad Pitt is a stuntman, and it's about them kind of trying to get rising through Hollywood set in the. In the 60s, and so yeah, I don't know. It looks very different for Tarantino.
It does, although I know Tarantino's hit and miss for me, and right now this is feeling like it might be a hit.
Sure, and I think it's also it's a decidedly different kind of direction he wanted to go. I think story wise, I guess with these kind of fictional characters set in a real backdrop, but.
Mm-hmm. He always talking about doing like 10 films or something like that too?
He had a
set number of films he was ever going to make.
This will be number 9, I think, if it considers Kill Bill as one movie. But
it says it right in the beginning. This is the 9th film.
So. Oh yeah, pretty much since Kill Bill.
The next film will be his last.
He's been putting his like how many?
Yeah.
But I mean, if he's anything like Kevin Smith,
His
plans are always.
It'll
changing.
Be like the 10th plus one or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But also notably, this is the first movie that he's made entirely separate from the Weinstein Company. Which is good. Yeah, I mean I don't think he had much of a choice.
Sure,
and I'm glad he completely severed from the company, and obviously, and he's been very open about how difficult he realized that whole situation was, realizing that Harvey Weinstein was a big part of why he became a star, because he was able to bankroll his films. But I'm glad he broke free from the company, and
I would not expect him to break free because he's so attached to the company or whatnot.
Well, the company kind of went under too.
Yeah,
sure. And I think also he just realizing that that part of his success is a little bit tainted because of that, I think he made the right move to move to a different studio, and this is I think maybe part of why he has a different feel too. It's awesome cast.
Yeah, the cast is amazing, and
Mike Moe's impression of Bruce Lee was
really good. Instantly I knew that was Bruce Lee.
Yeah,
instantly.
He's got it down. Yeah,
which kind of makes me wonder. Like, I kind of want to see him do something Bruce Lee-esque later on.
Yeah,
like,
I know he's
by himself.
Because I only became familiar with him because he was cast as him, but I guess he was in Inhumans and a few other things, but he's apparently a fifth degree Taekwondo black belt, and he's certainly got the chops as a martial artist, but he said in some interview that Bruce Lee's a hero of his, so he wanted to do the guy justice, and I'd love to see somebody doing so good of a Bruce Lee impression being directed by Tarantino, no less, obviously with fictional encounters with these main characters, but it'll be interesting to see kind of how that all plays out, especially given that this is set around such a real and very well known event.
Which now I'm actually interested in it, because when I first saw the trailer, I wasn't too interested in it. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll see when more comes out. But hearing about that it possibly tied to the Manson murders or whatnot, I'm like, okay, that kind of pulls me a little bit more into wanting to watch this.
Yeah. But clearly that's not what they're pushing with this trailer. If you don't realize, because I don't think they even really point out that that's Sharon Tate.
No, they just
Right.
So I guess we'll see, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, is there a possibility that there's no Manson murder in there?
I mean,
oh no, I think that's very much what they're.
I mean, it's a possibility, but I don't think that's the movie Quentin Tarantino set to make.
Yeah, and all the first talk about this movie was that it was going to be about the Tate murders.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that it's going to get there, but it's interesting seeing this trailer now. It's
you know what I'm saying? Like, as it's not going to be something like a one-off, like they say, oh, Tate's dead and like just kind of say it off screen or something like that, because I guess some madman said some people.
And it's a very fair point that Tarantino himself has done revisionist history with Inglourious Bastards. You know, that Hitler didn't die that way.
Yeah.
It could be interesting. Actually, that's a very good point. Given that he did that with Inglourious Bastards, I could see him pulling the revisionist history type of thing with this too. But I don't know. It'll be interesting because we don't see him in this trailer, but I know like Damian Lewis was also cast in it as Steve McQueen. So there's a lot of other like people playing famous actors, real people in it. So, certainly more than Inglourious Bastards had, I guess. Well, there were a few historical.
I didn't like Inglourious Bastards, so I don't remember it.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, either way.
Yes.
Yes.
It's an interesting first look at this movie, definitely. I feel like. And
see what happens.
We'll see. Sure.
Hopefully the next trailer will give us a little bit more.
Yeah. Even so, maybe not. I mean, look, I'll see it. You don't want to get too spoiled, right? Yeah.
Well, talking about movies we're probably not going to be able to see. The Flash movie is maybe losing Ezra Miller, or maybe not. Apparently he has decided to try and write the script for the film.
Yeah, with Grant Morrison, no less.
Yeah, in a bid to save, I guess, his role in the movie and the movie.
Oh, sure. Man.
I'm excited. I mean, just given that he's... this movie's been it's been in development hell pretty much because I think originally it was slated to be before the second before he would go off to do the second
Fantastic
Beasts movie. Yeah.
Yeah. But it makes me really think that because now he's resorted to this, to him writing it or whatnot. It's like, oh, that means they were going to scrap it probably right there and then.
Well, I think it's just something that just wasn't moving at all and just one of many Disney projects that.
Because he still wants to be the Flash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But whatever contract they have is coming, I guess, to a close.
That's what I mean.
Sense.
As in, they get to that contract end, then he knew for sure they were going to end it right there and then, but that's why he's putting his shoe in to try to get it pushed through.
So this news broke higher in there.
Yeah, this news broke with the Hollywood Reporter, and they were even saying that it was one of their insiders said that there's a time limit on this. Till May that he has to work on this
to get this
pitch with Grant Morrison. And Grant Morrison, he's a staple of comics, and he certainly has the writing chops behind him, but I don't know. I'm intrigued knowing that it sounds like Ezra Miller is still so committed to this because, he really wants to play this character and down to the point where he may want to take the reins to get this movie done. Cause look, it's not going to happen otherwise.
Yeah.
Yes.
It sounds, they had directors here and there just dropping it. Cary Fukunaga and, what was it? Robert Zemeckis for a little while was rumored to be one of the shortlisted, So I think knowing what the state of the DCEU right now, knowing that they've basically lost Henry Cavill, they've officially lost Ben Affleck now.
Yeah.
And obviously we're getting this alternate Joker movie coming out pretty soon. It sounds more and more like there's less commitment to try to keep the DCEU as a thing. We'll let Wonder Woman 2 come out. It'll be a huge thing. It'll be its own thing. Yeah. Aquaman obviously is going to get its sequels. Mm-hmm. But even Aquaman was somewhat on some level treated as a soft reboot of sorts. So I think
That they've got James Gunn doing the Suicide Squad,
and they're recasting Deadshot. They're certainly more open to just not having everything be directly tied to the what Zack Snyder had initially set up. So I think on some level maybe Ezra Miller just worried that does that mean they're just going to scrap me because he wanted some level he kind of looked into it too because it was Zack Snyder who chose him to be in Batman v Superman, a movie he's barely in, and then to give him the full reins to play the character in Justice League. That was a huge foot in the door he obviously got that way. But I'm glad it sounds like he's still really committed to doing this right, because I certainly would want the person playing him to be somebody committed. And, that's half the problem we got with Affleck, that he clearly wasn't that. And look, Affleck was going to write and direct the Batman.
Yeah, he was fully committed.
Yeah. When he was cast, I was excited more about the possibility of him stepping behind the camera and writing and directing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe in a weird way, we'll sort of get that out of Flash. Who knows? I mean, and it may well all get scrapped anyway, but I'm glad he's taking reins on that.
I kind of hope that this at least the Flash movie gets made.
Because I liked his take on it, and you know, and I feel like in Justice League he was played up for a lot more comedic relief because you know, look, all the other characters are so
super
gloomy.
Serious, yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'd want to see him get a second crack at, or even just get a crack at playing, carrying his own movie with it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see, but I think this is the one movie Chris has always said is like never gonna happen.
Oh sure, well, plenty
and
of these.
And it's making its way there.
Yeah, if you look at Warner Brothers' DC property history, that's more movies never get made than do get made. I mean, but yeah, I mean Flash notwithstanding, I remember a long time ago, David Goyer was originally attached to write and direct The Flash with Ryan Reynolds as Wally West.
Ugh, barf. Sorry.
Yeah, I know you feel about Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. But I don't know. I think he could have made a great Wally West, and that never happened. And
I would love to see that.
But then they chose him to be Hal Jordan.
And that didn't work either.
Wonk, wonk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, The Flash. It might happen.
Sorry. The best Flash.
Yeah. But, it could still be Ezra Miller, but... If this doesn't come to fruition, then I'm sure they'll either completely scrap it or rework it, and maybe that won't necessarily be a bad thing either.
No,
I think it's probably better. And part of this is also like part of why I'm psyched for maybe the future of all this is because Kevin Sugihara is out now. So Kevin Sugihara
I'm trying to ask the question with my face.
I don't know if he was officially CEO or not, but he was the Warner Brothers head who the sexual impropriety scandal just recently came to a head, and he stepped down. I think it was just a few days ago. The scuttlebutt seems to be that he was a lot of maybe behind a lot of the poorer choices of the DCEU in recent years.
Yeah.
He's often been cited as one of his many DC people in charge of DC properties at Warner Brothers who didn't really know the characters that well. Like John Peters famously
was the
guy who worked with Kevin Smith and didn't know jack shit about Superman. And a lot of the rumors seem to be that Kevin Sugihara was also part of that, you know, people who probably have too much creative control over something they don't really know much about. So who knows? I mean, that's a lot of rumor, but with him being out, a lot of DC fans seem to be quite happy at what that could mean for DC films here on out. So, I mean, if they could get somebody like Feige who could coordinate things better and know the material really well, that could be great. But, we'll see. I mean, you know, Warner Brothers is going through a lot with losing Sugihara, but we'll see.
Definitely.
Maybe that'll help Flash become, you know, actually a movie.
Maybe. but that's all we got time for this week. So I guess I got anything else you guys want to say real quick?
No.
Yeah.
Well, we got one. Yeah, Enrique and I will be at WonderCon next weekend. Yeah.
That's right. Next weekend.
Because are we doing Geekbox next week?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Well, there might be another Geekbox before then. We'll see.
We'll see.
But if not, we'll report
be reporting
back
on that, yes. And we'll give you our take on the alien thing.
I think it's, it's a couple of the shorts at least. It's two of them. I think they're probably premiering the other two at other cons here and there.
What, like Dragon Con, Comic Con's coming up.
Yeah, because
there's a bunch of conventions. There's New York Comic Con.
Yeah,
Emerald City just finished.
Star Wars Celebration. Might as well just play it there. I know Alien isn't Star Wars, but it's close enough.
It's in space.
Sweet. Okay. But yeah, if we're getting two, I'm sure there's probably a couple other cons that are getting here and there. But we can at least review two.
There you go.
Indeed.
All right. Well, that was Geek Pop for this week. I was your host, Lisa,
Brian,
and Ricky.
And your geek has just been hot.